WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. This Christmas Eve marks the anniversary of the signing of the Treaty of Ghent that at least technically ended the War of 1812 between the U.S. and Great Britain. But Dr. Glenn LaFantasy and Dr. Jack Thacker of WKU's History Department say even though we sent a dream team of negotiators led by Kentucky's Henry Clay to the table, America came out on the short end.
Up until this point in the War of 1812, that is, the summer of 1814, Britain had been fighting Napoleon. Now Napoleon has been defeated and sent to Elba, so the British decide to launch a three-pronged attack against America. Not to defeat America as much as it is in the future to contain America. What they want to do is to take off sections of America to the point that America is not going to be able to expand anymore, because they're very much fearful of the expansion of American power in the Western Hemisphere. So
they can live with America as it is.
Small, oh, yes.
Yeah.
But just don't let them get...
Yeah, well, America was the biggest trading partner. What they wanted to do was to keep America from coming so strong they would dominate them. In other words, they saw the future as well as we did, that America was going to be a colossus one of these days. And so what happens is they launch an attack from Canada under General Prevost, which was designed to take out as much of New England as they possibly could, which had been opposed to the war anyway. And that failed because we defeated them at the Battle of Plattsburgh and Battle of Lake Champlain. The second one was a raid against the center, which was on the Chesapeake, in which they burned Washington, D.C., and went all the way up to Baltimore before we were able to stop them at Fort McHenry, where the Star-Spangled Banner comes from.
One of the really most historic battles on American soil.
Yes, it was one of the most devastating because we lost our capital and it was burned, and our army was routed by a British army that was smaller than ours. Then, thirdly, they were going to launch an attack against New Orleans, which would bottle up the Mississippi and stop American development in the western part of the United States, because we wouldn't have that outlet to the sea in New Orleans. And so what happens is they're planning this. And you can see this because both the United States has asked for to begin negotiations to end the war in the summer also. And so we've sent a team of diplomats over, and they meet in Holland at Ghent. And Castlereagh, the British foreign minister, his agents in Ghent, raise the issue, the territory held at the end of the war will remain in the hands of those who hold it. And that was a surprise to us. That had not even been an issue in the war. And now suddenly he's raising that issue, which indicates exactly what the British were planning. But the defeat at Plattsburgh changes the British plans. And both sides are beginning to run out of money.
Mm-hmm. And Glenn picked up at the money, and also Jack kind of, I think, blew off a little bit, saying they've got a team of men to go over there. That was more than just some people they picked up off the street to go over and negotiate this.
Yeah, the team that went to negotiate the treaty was absolutely a dream team of diplomats. It included John Quincy Adams, Henry Clay, Daniel Webster, and Albert Gallatin. Gallatin is not well known today, other than for the fact that his name exists in numerous communities throughout various states, Gallatin, Tennessee being the closest one to us. So these four are our negotiators at Ghent, and there's more brain power there, plus the fact that there are three future secretaries of state that are among them. For Adams, Webster, and Clay, their futures will mean that they all at different times become secretary of state. So despite this dream team and the intellectual power behind this negotiating team, the treaty that's negotiated is a failure in the sense that we get nothing that we were really looking for when the war began. And everything's reverted, as they say in diplomatic talk, antebellum status quo. And that means everything reverts to the state of things before the war began. It means that no major issue is settled, but it's delayed, it's postponed until separate commissions can meet.
Well, Jeff, why did they fail so horrendously at a negotiated settlement?
Because they couldn't come to an agreement fast enough. And both sides wanted to end the war. And again, it came down to money. Both Baring and Company in this country, which is our leading financial institution, had warned we were running out. We were going to be bankrupt soon. And Castlereagh, was facing a situation where Britain had been at war with France for 22 years. And they were running out of money. They weren't running out of money. They had enough money. The problem was the interest rates on their bonds were going up. And they couldn't afford it. And so as a result of that, you'll see later on the vulnerability of British bonds become very, very famous in the incident at the Battle of Waterloo when Rothschild buys up the bonds at a very low price because they think they've lost the Battle of Waterloo. In other words, Britain is in facing serious financial problems. So Castlereagh is willing to make a deal.
And the then United States of America, being less than 50 years old, they were really in no position to negotiate from strength either.
No. Well, the United States wanted, we were almost bankrupt. We wanted peace. And so that's the reason for it. Both sides, as it turned out, ended up making peace for the same reason.
Okay, but on Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1814, we had peace. However, we do not find out that we've got peace in this country until February 16th, 1865.
But between the signing of the Treaty of Ghent on Christmas Eve and America finding out about it 2 months later, something important happens that boosts America's morale and puts it on the road to becoming a global power. We'll talk about the Battle of New Orleans in our next segment, January 6th. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran.